Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Talking Titans, depth, an assessment going into next week's draft. 615-737-1045, our number.
So let me kind of reset where I'm coming from on this. I keep looking at them. Obviously, we've talked, and we'll cover everything here. We've talked a lot about outside linebacker and inside linebacker, which I think are two clear needs. Beyond that, though, and we'll look at those positions too, I look at the roster, and on some days I feel like they really need reinforcements at the least here. And on other days I look at it and go, they're okay there. I think this is a little bit of the advantage that comes with a still relatively new general manager and a brand new coach who we don't, and staff who we don't know what their internal evaluations are of some role-playing types or some guys who are in line to ultimately be successors to older guys on the roster or stuff like that. But I also think there's a lot of leeway on this roster. Was it last year before the season that somebody declared them the third best roster in the league? Was that last year? I think it was.
Yes. Peter King, right?
Peter King had them fourth and said it was one of the best. I feel like I should have a better handle on it, and I don't. I'm being candid about that. I think the draft tells us a lot, right? They spend a third-round pick on a wide receiver, then I have a lot better sense of what they feel about the wide receivers. So I'm looking forward to these tells, if you will. But we're going to go here. Hutton's got an updated depth chart, position group by position group, and kind of assess what we think of their depth, what we think they think of their depth, and the likelihood that they address it in the draft.
Well, let's just start at the top at quarterback with Marcus Mariota, Blaine Gabbert, and Alex Tanny.
Yeah, I think they're happier than they were last year. I'm not factoring in Tanny. To me, it's a two-person room when you get to 53 with what's on the roster right now, with Gabbert being an upgrade over Castle, who remarkably found work in Detroit, I believe. Mm-hmm. With Bob Quinn, that tells you the power Matt Castle has with guys that he's worked for, because Robinson was a similar connection. I still allow for the possibility that if the right quarterback is available, say in round four, Falk or the Memphis kid or Laletta, that they would go ahead. Now that would be, again, I've said this time and time again, if they draft a guy there in the fourth round, they're making a determination ahead of the draft that if that guy's there and it works out right, that they're going to be a three-quarterback team for 2018.
Do you feel like they need to be a three-quarterback team moving forward?
Not necessarily, because the fact of the matter is,
they need to develop that guy.
Yeah, they need to develop that guy, but how often does that guy develop? How many teams have drafted a fourth-round pick to be their third quarterback who's developed into even their second quarterback? Generally speaking, it's pretty rare. If you're a quarterback that's going to play in the league, you're a hot commodity, and it doesn't happen very often.
A couple of quarterbacks that have been on their radar, I know, is Mike White, the quarterback at Western Kentucky, and Nick Stevens is another quarterback that they've taken a look at. With visits, pre-draft visits, according to reports. So, maybe they're looking at possible undrafted. I'm not saying Mike White's going to be undrafted. I expect him to be drafted. But can you bring in someone that competes with Tanny and then ultimately can compete for a roster spot?
Mike White interests me in LaFleur's offense. Very accurate guy. Not the strongest of arms, but
threw for a ton of yards.
Got a little Jared Goff in him.
If you spend a pick on Mike White,
in terms of putting the ball at the right spot at the right time.
If you spend a pick on Mike White, no matter if it's your sixth, they don't have a seventh. If you spend a pick on Mike White, I mean, that doesn't mean you cut Tanny, but I can't see how you then don't have Mike White on the roster as your third quarterback.
Running back, interested to get your take on this, because they have Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry. After that, David Flewellen and Kalfani Muhammad.
So I backed off of the idea. I mean, I don't know why. It's just kind of faded for me. I think there'll be a running back of value there, and I think that they should take one who would be a better third than Flewellen. Now,
I agree.
They mention Flewellen every time the run game comes up. I think LaFleur mentioned Flewellen with you guys when you said,
he did.
Hey, how do you teach, you know, or what's your anticipation for how the pass protection is going to come? And he didn't really stay on pass protection, but went out of his way to mention Flewellen. Now, Vrabel has done this as well, and I think part of it is that they're going to mention every guy at every position every time. I hope they don't think that David Flewellen is a good third running back, because he's not.
You can get great value later in the draft with a running back, too. Great value. Much better than David Flewellen.
To that point, is Flewellen the type of running back they're looking for in this system? Do they want another Deion Lewis more than they want another Derrick Henry?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you only had one kind.
Like a gadget back.
If you only had one kind of back in this offense, I think it needs to be a guy who can catch passes.
And to what Chad's saying, I think you can find that guy late in this draft. I would address that as a depth check mark for me.
I would feel a lot better about someone that both John Robinson and Matt LaFleur want late in the draft as opposed to David Flewellen.
Just running through offense, wide receiver, Rashard Matthews, Corey Davis, Taywan Taylor, Tajay Sharp, Michael Campanaro.
And then they have a couple other under contract. Who
Pascal and I believe Darius Jennings.
Yeah. And Jennings, I think, played a game last year. This is the one I go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Vrabel says, well, you know, your fifth guy, we're not going to be using five wide receivers. The fifth wide receiver's, you know, around largely based on what he does on fourth down. Well, that's Campanaro right now in the pecking order that we would set up. That said, do they have enough? You know, get mixed signals there. LaFleur told some season ticket holders, you know, it's an undervalued group. So do they feel like they have an undervalued group who's enough? I looked at the Rams and I looked at the Texans. You know, they had six or seven guys last year. The Titans took about 77% of the snaps that Rams wide receivers took last year. And I know it's not straight Rams scheme, but there are that many more snaps to be had. I think you need some injury insurance. But to me, a drafted wide receiver is making you younger at a position where you're already too young.
It's also making you faster.
Yeah, and that said, there's nowhere else to go get one right now. I mean, who's fallen in your
lap
later?
And they've spent some time looking at them. It's hard not to read into that.
You know, I'd like a fast one later, but I don't know. I worry about being too young. Here's the other thing. Rashard Matthews had a very good deal, three-year, $15 million deal that he's going in the last year of. There's no guarantee that he's back, and then you're going to need to replace him anyway. So you might as well have had the guy from this year as opposed to last year.
Yeah,
next year.
It's hard for me not to read into some of the names that pop up at the bottom of the first round in a lot of mock drafts. Not for the Titans, but Gallup could be, you know, into the first round, early second round with the 57th pick. But they're spending some time on those guys, and I know they turn over every rock looking for information on every player possible. And with the draft being as late as it is, these final 2 weeks, you can just overanalyze certain things, but I can't help but read into that and think value wise, if you're looking at it, if you're creating a board of best available players and you're looking at 25 and 57 with the opportunity to trade down and pick up picks and still get the player you want, wide receiver could be one of those positions that's in that range where not a lot of other positions would be worthy of the pick that high. For instance, if there's a run on pass rushers in the middle part of the first round, where they sit at 25, you may not get the guy you're looking for. So do you go with a position of need or do you go with best available player to impact your quarterback? I'm split on that just like you are.
I don't know how in the world either of you guys can like where they are at wide receiver.
I don't love it. I'm just saying younger doesn't help, because
to like where they are at wide receiver, you have to know what they have at wide receiver.
And we don't know what they
have. I feel like I know what they have with Rashard Matthews. Well, I have no idea with Corey Davis because he didn't play a lot. I have no idea with Taywan Taylor based on his performance through 1 year.
I would know,
we don't know what we have with Tajay Sharp coming back.
I would know a better answer. I would say no, they definitely need to address wide receiver if they're bringing back the same offense they were last year. But I don't know how this offensive scheme is going to help the receivers or how they view those receivers within this scheme versus the one they were in.
Well, and did not sniff a veteran of note. I mean, Campanaro's a fourth or fifth
guy.
I'm saying they didn't sniff a field that wasn't too bad. There were some options.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not saying that you have to address this, and this. I'm just saying I am totally up in the air and uncertain because I don't know anything. I mean, for all I know, Corey Davis could be A.J. Green, or he could be out of the league in 2 years. Rashard Matthews looks like a good player, has been pretty steady. I feel pretty good about Rashard Matthews.
Not around for the long term, necessarily.
Not around for the long term. Taywan Taylor, no clue. Did very little in year one. Hearing rumors that he doesn't get lined up properly, doesn't run the right routes. No idea with him. Tajay Sharp probably does some of those things well, but coming back after missing a year, no idea what to know with him. Campanaro is a nice little piece to add in special teams into the run game.
He might not be on the roster.
But to me, that's a total, there's a huge void of knowledge with those wide receivers. You have to address that.
One of the things Hutton mentions there, like if they do drop back somewhere and acquire at least one extra pick,
right,
then I'm a lot more comfortable with one of them being a wide receiver or one of them being a running back. You know, if they only have six, or if they went forward somewhere and wound up with five, then I say,
So wide receiver is a position that, depending on the day and the time,
I've changed
your
mind.
Back and forth on.
I've changed my mind.
Where are you right now? Like as of 12:32.
After Chad's thing,
I just don't know how you can be confident at all. There's very little knowledge of what they have.
I'm not, but I think they could be.
And I'm even talking about roles. Like if Taywan Taylor, you knew Taywan Taylor was a good go get the ball guy or vertical speed guy, you knew he could do that. Well, even if he's not a complete receiver, well, you know that he fits this peg. That. You can put this into the puzzle and say, you have this, you have this, you have that.
I don't know
what those guys are.
I think they're taking a receiver in this draft. I'm just not sure how high. It could be first two rounds. But they've spent a lot of time digging on receivers all across this draft.
They take a first-round receiver, and listen, I'm all for the modernization of this team. I want a modern offense. We're in line for a modern offense. They take a wide receiver at 25. That's back-to-back first-round wide receivers.
But let's say that wide receiver, there's always players that drop. Let's say that wide receiver is DJ Moore from Maryland, who is positioned to go somewhere between 12 and 16, and he's there at 25.
Yeah, well, I mean, you could say that about a lot of guys.
Exactly.
If a guy who's tabbed to be 12.
That's a guy they've worked out.
Yeah. If a guy who's tabbed to be 12 is there at 25, he's in play. Regardless of position outside of quarterback.
And that's all I'm saying. They've worked out certain guys that, you know, you wouldn't expect to be available at 25, but if they were there, what do you do?
And we'll get into this more as we keep going. But again, I think it's seven in a row or seven out of their last eight first-rounders offense. This team should be pretty damn good on offense considering the resources.
If they draft a receiver early, they're admitting mistakes. Probably in recent years, and I'm fine with that. If that's a position of need, you have to go and assess it. And you're at the very least admitting uncertainty with two recent draft picks.
Walker and Smith at tight end with Philip Supernaw and Luke Stocker on this roster.
I'm not sure if Supernaw makes the roster, depending on how much they're using him. Stocker is the fullback / tight end.
We also have Tim Simish.
And Walker and Jonnu Smith are you know, obviously Walker huge.
Mm-hmm.
Smith somewhat of a factor in the passing.
Why
game.
Are we seeing so many mock drafts with tight end?
I think that they think this is traditionally a tight end team, that 25 is about where a good tight end would go. And I don't know. The only way, and I haven't done that much homework on these tight ends because of my stance on it, but the only way you're bringing in a tight end, especially at 25, to me, is if he's very much a receiver and you're thinking, you know what, this guy is better at being a pass catching tight end,
which most of these tight ends are this year,
than the receiver we could get. But do I want the South Dakota State kid ahead of the second best receiver at 25? I sure don't. I mean, this overload of tight end should end with Mike Mularkey.
Yeah, there's no need for tight ends. I don't see it.
It should be the best position on the roster, as is.
I tend to agree.
Now, but Delaney's getting old, and Delaney, I think, is going into his last year. But Johnny Smith is drafted for that already.
But if you're my only question with it, if you're taking these mocks seriously, like the Mel Kuypers and Todd McShays of the world do, they're paid to be accurate to a point with these, to be around the radius of what a team might need. How do they look at this depth chart and think, you know what, Dallas Goedert is my pick for the Titans at 25.
I don't know. And I don't have the relationship with Kuyper and Kuyper's thing as I used to, but I used to be Kuyper's Tennessee guy in that he had a guy, he didn't make the call, but Pete Sutter, his right-hand guy for the book, made the call. And twice a year, I ran through the roster.
So they did
what we're doing here
in their homework.
And I would have said, he would have said, what about tight end? And I would have said just what we said here. I imagine he's still having those conversations somewhere, but it doesn't seem to be breaking through in the ESPN stuff.
Offensive line.
They will draft one almost every year, but I think they need one in that fashion less than they ever had, unless you're drafting to replace Ben Jones. And I could see, if you're not replacing him immediately, positioning someone to replace Ben Jones in a year. I wouldn't have a problem with that. Again, though, it can't be high. I keep saying it would be, what, the third in 5 years? It would also be the fourth in 6 years, going back to Warmack.
Mm.
You can't have a first-round offensive lineman on this team.
When you say high, you're saying first, second-round pick.
Yeah, I like Daniels a lot. I think Daniels could make the line better. I think Daniels would have to start over Ben Jones. I mean, Daniels is a move you make where you cut Ben Jones, right? Like you would cut Ben Jones the Monday after the draft.
Well, Daniels, you know, we were having the discussion about can they afford to have a Keith Bullock type of first-round pick in this draft. There's an example of one.
But see,
someone that comes in and doesn't immediately start.
We were having
that discussion, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I would immediately start him. Other than that, I mean, look, the question a little bit is about what do they think of Levin, who they drafted last year relatively late?
And he's battling against Suofilo and Pam Phil.
And Spain. I mean, they're loaded up with options there. But what you do when you're not that good is load yourself up with a bunch of options, create a competition, and hope somebody emerges. Oftentimes somebody will, but it's completely possible that they come out of that and the best thing they have is an okay Quentin Spain.
Are you okay with Jack Conklin in the rehab process from the torn ACL? Dennis Kelly slated to go into camp as the starter until Conklin's ready. And then you have Pam Phil, who has played tackle before.
Yeah.
Is that enough depth at tackle?
It is for me. A lot of people are saying something about tackle as if the Conklin thing dictates a move at tackle. Conklin thing doesn't. Even if he misses half the season, which he could, you've got a long-term right tackle. You're not looking for some alternative at right tackle. You're patching it. And they love Kelly. It's part of why he's here, is so that he could play eight games if Jack Conklin's down.
I could see them taking a center or guard late in the draft. Feel pretty good overall about offensive line for the reason you guys mentioned, that they've brought so many bodies in that can compete at guard, that I like the odds that one of those guys, the cream will rise to the top, and they'll have a solid interior offensive line. And I like where they are attacked.
According to reports, the one offensive lineman I can look up that they worked out was Austin Corbett.
I'm not familiar.
I think he's a second round type selection.
From?
Oh, gosh.
Sorry.
I've.
It's all right.
I will find out. He's being mentioned a lot lately. I'm drawing a blank on that. 615-737-1045, our number. So just looking through offense quickly. Wide receiver, running back, quarterback. In that order for depth in the draft?
Well, yes.
If we're making a list of offensive priority, draft needs for depth.
Yes, wide receiver.
We're not concerned with the offensive line all that much as a group.
And tight end.
Wide receiver, running back, quarterback. I could see flipping running back and wide receiver. That would be based on the talent of the draft, not so much based on who would be getting on the field for you. But I think there's value. We've discussed this for a long time before they signed Deion Lewis. Value in the quality of a third back you could find there more so than the receiver after a certain point.
Austin Corbett, Nevada. Offensive tackle, swing player, mid-round sleeper is the first story that pops up.
Who else is the back-end offensive lineman you have on that depth chart? You have
Cody Richmond, Corey Levin, Tyler Merritts.
Yeah. Like Merritts came and went and came back. Look, if you drafted a tackle type, it would then be he or Pam Feel on the team, you would think.
We're going through the Titans depth chart as we begin to, over the next week, starting today, we are diving in headfirst with all things Titans draft, leading up to a week from Thursday's first-round coverage. We'll be all over it. All the shows, Wake Up Zone 3HL, will have it covered top to bottom as well, live and local all day. And we'll also have Titans radio coverage next Thursday for the first round, starting at 7 p.m. 615-737-1045, our number. Let's go to defense for some defensive talk on needs and depth. Let's start up front on the defensive line. Daquan Jones is back. Antoine Woods returns for depth at nose tackle. You have Jarrell Casey, Austin Johnson, David King, and Benny Logan. Did I leave anyone out?
No.
Okay.
I'm content with that. I, for some reason, feel like they aren't, which is another mind-gaming thing. And I also feel like Robinson's probably of the school of, adding one on a regular basis, and B, big guys, talented big guys when available being of value because they're a tough thing to find. I'd be fine with that group going forward. Heck, I mean, that's a full roster there. You bring somebody else in, you're probably cutting one of those guys, right?
Yeah, Antoine Woods is always going to battle for a roster spot.
Awfully good in camp last year. Outplayed Sylvester Williams by a great deal.
The thing I'm looking for, though, and it's just the trend with Dean Pease defenses, big bodies.
He likes fat guys.
Big dudes. And, you know, that's Benny Logan. Is that...
Who's the other guy?
How much of a priority is that for his defense?
Yeah, and if because it is, there are they guys, need to go get another one.
There are guys in the third, fourth round that you can find that are well over three bills.
Did you mention Austin Johnson there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
To me, you're starting Daquan, Austin Johnson, and Casey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Logan being the fourth, and then King and Woods being the extras, if you will. Could they use one more? Sure. Is he likely to be a big, bigger than the standards? Yes. Personally, I don't feel like there's a huge gravitational pull towards it.
I like where they are there. I think the addition of Benny Logan is a big one and a big guy. I could see taking a flyer on a rookie, just monster run stuffer, guy who can occupy two offensive linemen.
And I think Logan's been banged up, and so maybe this guy would be insurance on that, but that could also be Woods.
But I don't see it being a high priority.
What do you think?
If they find someone that just falls to them, I know that makes
I think happened. Like Daquan Jones, I don't know that they were in dire need of Daquan Jones when they drafted him. I think he was a guy they scored high and liked a lot and thought was a good value when they got him. And I think the same with Austin Johnson. Like, in neither of those circumstances do I remember thinking they really had to have a defensive lineman or certainly had to have one at that stage. I feel like the way they grade guys, somebody winds, and I know that those aren't both. Austin Johnson is a Robinson guy. Daquan Jones was here before that. But I feel like the way Robinson and his staff grade guys, that there's going to be one that they see as a value. Now, do they need him? Will they take him? I don't know. Will there be one that they like? I bet. I bet there is.
Outside linebacker.
A giant need.
Derek Morgan, Brian Arakpo, Kevin Dodd, Aaron Wallace, Josh Caraway, and they released Victor Ochi.
Wallace and they and Eric Walden is a free agent.
Yes, yes.
They and Eric Walden played as the third last year. Morgan and Arakpo are in the last year of their deals. They're getting up there.
You've got
to get the successor for them in addition to a guy who's going to be your third pass rusher.
And as you want to be able to believe in Kevin Dodd, he's got to prove it. And if he doesn't prove it, what do you do?
Yeah. And this is the biggest need on the team for those reasons and because pass rushing is a premium. And you just loaded up in the secondary over the last 3 years with three new starting caliber guys in Ryan, Jackson, and Butler. And guess what can make your new secondary irrelevant? No pass rush.
Can you find the Eric Walden in free agency like they did last year where you sign a guy early July and he's there for training camp?
I think it'd be unlikely to find a guy that could fill that role 2 years in a row where it not being the same guy in a league where pass rushers are such a commodity. They have to draft somebody in this draft who can get to the quarterback, at least situationally, ASAP.
It's the one position that I'd like to see the Titans trade up to get. If there was a trade-up scenario to get who you want, to me, this is the position.
They've also
find a guy who can affect the quarterback.
And knock on wood, and I'm almost willing to call it a trend. I know people are obsessed with the hamstrings. The Titans have been among the healthier teams in the league the last 2 years, and two guys who have some injury history have been healthy in Morgan and Arakpo. Now, I'm not saying you'd count on them getting hurt, but you need a third guy now. You need a successor to at least one of those guys next year. And they both stayed remarkably healthy last year. I mean, you couldn't put a higher premium. And pass rushing is one of the, you know, two or three things that sets apart a team, and they're not particularly good at it. Clear-cut number one need. Now, is there a guy at 25 that fills it? I don't know. This is a spot they've got to resolve.
There's an edge
Maybe
guy,
with two of them.
Edge guy at Florida State, Josh Sweat, that is getting a lot of talk right now for the Titans.
It would be great if he was there. I mean, if a guy like him was at 25, I just don't know that they'll be there.
Let me throw out a name that could be there at 57, Arden Key from LSU.
I think it's all about the trouble off the field.
Sure, but at 57 for a first-round talent?
I love it. Love it. I'll tell you who else will love it. Mike Dettillier.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I got a feeling he's going to love that guy.
He's on the cover of the M&D draft.
Well, he always knows so much more about all the LSU guys also. But
if only Harold Landry's injury had dragged a little bit more into the combine season.
Yeah, see, while Landry may get picked way ahead of where the Titans are selecting, there will be defenders that are going to fall in this draft because of the run, I think, on quarterbacks. And I think there will be teams that are maneuvering to get the second running back, maneuvering to get maybe their top feature at wide receiver on the board. Maybe they're trading up to get the first big offensive tackle.
Obviously, I mean, Chad already tweeted out the list of how we rank things on offense. You know, biggest need to least need. Well, when you see that list, then you want as many players at those least need positions off the board as soon as possible. Starts with quarterback. I mean, you certainly hope you hope all six are in the first 24 picks.
Last year, probably around the same time, maybe a little bit earlier last year, we sat discussing the same thing, Titans draft needs, going through all the positions. And we sat here and said, is it as easy as just making it simple? They need help at wide receiver. Is that the direction they go at number five? Since day one of the draft season, which never ends, but after the regular season and the postseason completes, we've been talking about added emphasis on pass rush. And we've been doing that each year, but specifically this year where they select. Is it as simple as analyzing what they need and addressing edge rusher as number one?
Well, I pledged at the beginning of this not to overanalyze. Last year we had a lot more room to overanalyze because they had two first picks. Rounders. But they ultimately drafted the two positions that they needed the most help at. I think they draft an outside linebacker pass rusher here, if there is one. I'm not positive that there's one they're going to value worth 25, so I see one other spot where I could think they go. But if they don't go outside linebacker, A, or inside linebacker, B, I don't know where they go, and they're not addressing the primary stuff.
When we
and
come
he's
back.
He's been addressing the primary stuff. Jack Conklin was primary stuff. Corey Davis was primary stuff. Odoree Jackson was primary stuff. I have every reason to believe he's John Robinson's looking to address primary stuff at the top.
Paul, a lot of mocks have inside linebacker at 25, which doesn't surprise me. I still think you can address outside linebacker, edge rusher in the second round. You can find an Arden Key. Will Sam Hubbard be there in the second round? Armstrong is a player to watch in that area. I think there are some decent players that could be second-round picks as edge rushers in this draft. Will you have the same quality at inside linebacker in the second round?
I don't know. That's the puzzle they're trying to figure out. But
where do you put that as a need for them?
I put it right there, second.
Jayon Brown, Wesley Woodyard, Nate Palmer, Darren Bates, and Will Compton.
Yeah, look, you know, Compton slash Brown could be, you know, a starting player. Between the two of them, they could be one linebacker. And Wesley Woodyard was tremendous last year. But also, you got to get ready for Wesley Woodyard to not be that, because he's not getting younger. You hope he sustains it. He's a core guy on this team who's a fantastic locker room guy and was a fantastic pickup by Rustin Webster. But you got to get ready for life after him. And even, you know, you don't need to spend a big pick in order to replace Avery Williamson. But what I want and what I'm intrigued by and what I think will intrigue Vrabel is a Brian Cushing kind of guy from back in his day who you can plant in the middle of the field all the time. A new age guy that the Titans haven't had the like of. The only guy they've had that fits this bill was Randall Godfrey, and that was a 4-3 middle linebacker in a different era where the tight ends and the running backs were not doing what they're doing now in the passing game. If you can find an antidote to running backs and tight ends with a linebacker who could play every down and also step forward and stop the run, that's a real commodity.
Which is Van Der Esch and Evans primarily in this draft. For that position.
Yeah, and that's why I'm incredibly intrigued.
In the second half of the first round.
But they need to address that spot in some form or fashion.
Agreed.
It's
so inside and outside linebacker,
top priorities. Two so far. Yeah, I mean, I'm putting inside linebacker right behind outside linebacker, only because I'm placing a higher emphasis on a pass rusher.
Reports are the Titans have held pre-draft visits with Josh Jackson, with Jair Alexander, at cornerback.
I think I might have broke the J.R. Alexander one from my sickness. I don't know. I wasn't monitoring what
you're
was
in a haze.
But I got that and the two home preseason opponents ahead of the curve while I was very ill. I think that you can I don't know. You got to find some kind of justification for having these cornerbacks, and maybe if one of them falls in your lap at 25, it's too good to be true and you have to take it. And you play dime all the time with four cornerbacks?
Well, their cornerback depth, Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, LaShawn Sims, Ty Smith, Kalen Reed, Demontre Hurst, and Jeremy Boykins.
You can argue they need a fourth, though I'd be fine with Sims and
Smith,
and Smith vying for that role. And as long as you're healthy, you're okay. If you're drafting one of those two top guys, who's doing the sitting? Because you're not going to be that much Don. Now, you might be a lot of nickel, which is fine, but you're already, your nickel's full.
Cornerback, just on the surface, very low priority.
Yeah, the way to help the cornerbacks that you have on the team is to rush the quarterback better.
They've invested a lot of capital. I'm good with where they are at corner.
I'd put it last on defense.
Safety. Jonathan Cyprian, Kevin Byard, and then they have Denzel Johnson and Brendan Trawick.
Very thin.
Yes.
Definitely need a third safety, and I think you need a third safety in the mold of somebody who is you could forecast as a better guy to go with Byard. Cyprian is good in some situations, not as good in some other situations. Didn't see good enough tackling consistently enough, though certainly had his big moments. I think he's a good team guy. I know Robinson liked him from all the way back at in college when the Jaguars drafted him with the first pick of the second round when he came into the league.
I'm told Sip, by the way, wants to come in studio with us one day,
right?
Soon.
Yeah. I like Sip. They need a third guy, though, there, and he needs to give them an option of being a second guy in the right setting, at least in some situation.
Are you talking about a second strong safety
second starter with Byard?
Gotcha. Yeah.
An alternative to Cyprian.
I like Cyprian. I would like to see someone with a little bit more versatility. I feel like Cyprian is such a type where he is a more of an in-the-box, hard-hitting guy, run-stopper. They need someone that can do a little bit more.
And here's the
puzzle. To go alongside Byard, who can do everything.
Cyprian is more of an in-the-box run-stuffer, and how often did we see Cyprian lined up as the deep guy? Because Byard's so good that you need him closer to the ball, more and more likely to be involved with the play instead of being the safety blanket guy. And I think that's what, you know, Byard would be great as the safety blanket guy, but the safety blanket guy isn't called on to do something on every snap. And that other safety closer to line of scrimmage is involved in every play. So I think it's hard to ask Byard to only be a center fielder. And then, so you need the counterpart to be a guy who can be the center fielder if and when need be. And Cyprian's miscast is that.
I think two safeties, second to third round area, Jesse Bates, safety from Wake Forest, Justin Reed, the safety from Stanford.
Compelling. I'd put it, third on the defense and maybe third overall.
And then there's some guys, third, fourth round. There's a safety from Arizona. I cannot remember his last name right now. Safety from Arizona. A few other guys too. Watts is a safety from Texas A&M. That's probably middle of the draft, fourth,
Armani,
fifth round.
Armani Watts.
Yep.
Good player.
To me, after linebacker, and I'm just going to put a broad brush over linebacker because we agree it could be any position of need there. Safety would be right behind that for me.
Yeah, I'm with you. The three biggest needs are defense.
The three biggest needs, linebacker, safety.
Yeah.
We good at ending it there? I don't feel a great
inside linebacker, edge rusher,
safety.
We did not really discuss on the roster outside backers beyond Morgan and Arakpo, Dodd being a question mark. But you mentioned Wallace and Caraway, guys that they like, both seventh rounders, both not healthy. Caraway got hurt, right? And Aaron Wallace missed the season with a back injury.
Caraway was
much.
Banged up, but
Caraway was at Wallace least banged up. He never broke through to get any significant
was practice squad, and then
time.
Came back and forth.
So, are you counting on anything from either of those two guys, or are they pretty much gravy if one of them has a big camp and forces his way around?
Caraway was the guy they brought to the active roster late in the season when they cut Jahlstin Fowler.
Yeah, and I don't remember him doing anything.
No.
I don't know if he dressed or not, but. I there's a lot to like about Aaron Wallace, but the big downside is Aaron Wallace hasn't been healthy for 10 consecutive minutes.
And it's a back.
Since he's been here. So, I don't know if there's room for those guys. And I wouldn't be surprised, we said, outside linebacker, inside linebacker, safety. I might say outside linebacker, inside linebacker, outside linebacker, safety.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're saying there. More depth at the two primary spots of need. But
three linebackers in some fashion.
Got to find some depth at safety, though.
Definitely.